Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to this week on the Grappling Rewind Podcast. In today's episode, we are going to recap Combat Jiu-Jitsu Fight Night. We're going to recap BJJ Stars, Grapple Fest 4, the Finishers Invitational 8 presented by Show the Art. We are also going to preview Gamblers Invitational 2, Fight to Win 103 in Houston, Texas, Subspectrum 7, the Midwest Finishers inaugural event, and Spider Korea, the qualifier. It's listed as qualifier number one in my event list here. As always, I'm your host, Maine, here with my co-host. My coast.
Oh, God. It's already starting off on a bad foot.
Ooh.
Hi, Josh is here.
Good to see you, Josh. Good to have you back.
Thanks.
It's been a busy day starting out, basically. I woke up at 7 a.m. It's Sunday right now. I woke up at 7 a.m., drove 3 hours to cover Finishers 8 live, watched that entire event, drove back, napped for 15 minutes, and you knocked on my door, and my dog freaked out, and we're recording the podcast now.
Now we're here.
Was up till like 1:30 last night watching BJJ Stars and watching highlights of Erberth run into the crowd and punch.
Spoilers. Come on. Let's not talk
spoilers.
About that now.
Spoilers? That's newsworthy. Come on. That's newsworthy.
No. We're not going to talk about that. We'll talk about it for the event.
During the event.
It's fucking hilarious.
It is pretty hilarious.
I had so many ideas after I saw it, so yeah.
So before all that, let's get into some news. Pantheon Grappling, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, we did a preview. They now have other videos up, so if you're interested in that event, go back and watch it. I believe it's on YouTube, so they have an interesting combat jiu-jitsu format. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet, full disclosure, but it looks like it has gloves on, so it looks like it's a more kind of like MMA-y combat jiu-jitsu. It's up. I'm going to watch it and see if we want to talk about it next week, but the videos are now up now. Gordon Ryan has now scheduled a surgery. It looks like he has some damage to his knees. We kind of knew about that, but
reconstructive surgery, as he put it.
Yeah, some pretty major surgery, actually.
We'll see how it goes. I wonder if it's like totally torn or they're just kind of scoping it. The scoping's going to heal faster, but
I thought it was a full tear. I think he has some damage to a meniscus and like an LCL or an MCL, I think. I think it's MCL. Or no, it's LCL. And one of them is torn, one of them is like partially torn, and they're going to get one completely reconstructed. And so he's still on for the IBJJF Heavyweight Grand Prix in August, supposedly.
That's a good amount of time to recover.
Well, this also puts him back in ADCC. So potentially he's going to get the surgery. If he does it right and heals right, he's in that event and he's in ADCC. So, you know, he's out for a while, which does suck. There's some stuff we're not going to see him on. But we will hopefully see him in the future for these big events. In other news, Mackenzie Dern's pregnant.
Eating for two, not like she wasn't before.
God
can't
damn.
Make weight for MMA, and then she gets pregnant. Who's she dating right now?
I literally, in my notes, it's Mackenzie Dern is pregnant. That's it. I didn't like look into it, Josh.
I can't remember.
It's a news item, and then I moved on from it because that's really kind of grappling news. But she's fighting MMA now and doesn't really grapple anymore. So it was a point of. She was also supposed to be the commentator for BJJ Stars for the English broadcast, and I couldn't find the English broadcast.
Because it doesn't exist, because she's apparently forgotten how to speak English completely. And she doesn't know how to write in English either after she announced that she was pregnant, and she can't put a sentence together. So,
how do you feel about this, Josh?
She's fucking stupid. Like, don't get me wrong. She's good at jiu-jitsu, but just, like, all this horse shit. And there are some, like, super...
I always forget how opinionated you are.
And oh, my
you,
opinion
you
goes
come back
deep
and I'm like,
on
oh
this,
yeah, Josh is like really, really. You'll tell it how it is.
I don't want to be like super. What's the word I'm looking for?
Not derogatory.
Yes, I don't want to be super derogatory because I could go in on what I actually feel about her, but I won't because I'm professional.
I mean, that's in quotes there at the end there.
Yes, it definitely is.
Let's see. Oh, my back is
still fucked up.
And we actually know it's wrong now. It's a thing pushing on the L1, the L5 S1 nerve. It's actually deflecting the nerve, which explains why I'm in so much pain.
What's funny was I was talking to my neighbor who's a massage therapist and a sports trainer. And I was like, oh, he's got something like the S1. He's like, is it L5 S1? And I couldn't remember. So it's actually kind of funny that he knew that as well.
Yeah. Well, because that's the two sections meet, the lumbar and the
And he's like, how old is he?
Like 27.
27. He goes, what the fuck is wrong with him?
I appreciate that even a guy I don't know is giving me shit about a dumb injury.
He was like, how did that happen? I was like, no idea.
Dude, I don't know how it happened.
I said he broke his back too. He goes, what's wrong with him? It's like, that's a great question.
Yeah. Okay, so enough about my back. In other news, on our website now, we were starting to put up more articles. Matt did an article on Nick Rodriguez last week, highlighting some of his accomplishments. Talked to Nick. We will cover Nick here in a little bit on the Finishers Invitational Open. He did some wild shit during his match today.
Shocker.
And there's an article up about him on our website. Take a look at it. It's interesting. It highlights some cool stuff about the guy and gives you more information about a guy we're most likely going to be covering pretty frequently until ADCC and then at ADCC.
So what I'm really like interested in, though, is think about this. So Nick Rodriguez trains with Gordon Ryan. Ryan is obviously... Gordon Ryan might be able to cut the extra few pounds to be an under 99.
That was the big question going in. Like, do we think Gordon's going to go to under 99, or do we think he's going to basically keep the weight on and 90, stay above the weight class?
98 here. We're going to do a little bit of math. 218 pounds. So I don't think that's a real stretch that he would go to under 99 unless he just really doesn't feel like it. But then you would have a potential matchup, and you have to have a real match.
Yeah, because ADCC
will disqualify you.
Yeah.
They did it before with Matt Hughes and, who was Matt Hughes against? They, did a work match. And
for the prize money, because you got money for the fastest submission.
Right.
And,
then they
was the other guy? Was it not Linlin? Was it?
Was it Matt? It might have been Matt Linlin.
I don't remember. I always remember it being Hughes, and I always, put some other – it was another MMA guy.
Yeah,
they trained together.
Maybe it wasn't Linlin then, since I don't think he was training.
I don't believe
it.
I always want to say it's Linlin, but it's not Linlin.
And then it was probably somebody from Militix.
You can look it up. Type in work ADCC match fastest submission, and you'll find it. It's a blurry video. But no, because Nick and Gordon training. I talked about Nick today a little bit, and he's training there. He's kind of primarily training there, but he's there at least usually 3 days a week. He's wrestling 2 days a week. He's at Regal Bluto's place a couple days a week, and he's training 7 days a week.
Must be nice.
Dude, he just is like, I just do stuff. Like, I have a wrestling base, and, I'm trying to work my guard and trying to, learn the rest of jiu-jitsu because right now I just do stuff. Like, unabashedly, that's his game plan going. Before his match, I talked to him today, and he was like, that's my game plan. I was like, wait, you just do stuff? And then he just did stuff and won, impressively again.
So,
he's a legit freak athlete.
How big is he?
I'm a tiny
guy.
Not
weight-wise, but how much bigger than you is he? Like, does he tower over you?
He's thick. Ooh. He's he looks like a legit super heavyweight.
I mean height-wise, not weight-wise.
Both. He's tall. I mean, he's not 6'8 tall, but he's definitely.
You say 6'1"?
I'm looking at his chest. 6'1", 6'2", something like that. I'm looking at his chest, and I have to look side to side to see his body. He's a large gentleman. His hands are gigantic. Shook my hand. Super nice guy. He could have crushed my hand with his hand. He's a legit.
So what you're saying, he's like Tony Robbins, banana hands, giant fucking hands.
Big hands. But again, I'm not a good barometer for
that. Know what they say about big hands?
Good jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I met a bunch of people today that were gigantic compared to my tiny ass. I'm 150, broken back, out of shape.
I'm surprised you're not 160.
I'm trying to get there, man. I'm trying to just completely let myself go with this back injury. And
remember
just,
when you
up.
Tried to justify taking steroids just to get bigger?
It'd have been great.
Well, now you're just getting bigger, but without the steroids. There you go. That's all you had to do is break your back. By the way, again, if you don't recall, 3 weeks ago, I said it would be fucking hilarious if he broke his back. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, Josh, you texted me a picture of Stephen Hawking with my face on.
No. I didn't text you a picture. I sent it in the chat, and I made that picture. Thank you very much.
All right.
Because that's funny.
It was funny. I thought it was really funny.
I mean, you don't have ALS, but it's still
you
funny.
You made sure you're like, hey, you okay with this? I was like, yeah. And then you put it in there.
I didn't. I didn't ask you if
you
were okay.
If it was okay.
I said, give me 5 seconds.
You saw me make a joke about it because I sent the Tyson GIF, my back is broken, spinal. And then you sent that immediately. You said, give me 5 seconds. And then you sent that.
Yeah, because it's – I should have used somebody I should have found a sports star that got crippled. Ooh, I should have used Christopher Reeves. God damn it.
Oh, we've all gone off the rails here. So in the rest of news before – God, I forget how much I have to corral you back in this show. You leave for a little bit and then you come back and I forget it's a constant corralling of Josh back onto topic.
You were complaining about waking up at 7 to drive to Jersey to watch Finishers.
I woke up at 6. No, sorry, I woke up at 7. Never mind.
Right, you even just said it. It's recorded. I woke up at 4:45.
Yeah, but you need like 3 hours of sleep.
Why? I don't know. I woke up at 4:45, and then I couldn't really go back to sleep, and then I've been working all day.
Yeah, you're a real gangster, Josh.
I've been working all week. I went into work when work was closed when it snowed.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's terrible. So, in other news, Josh works really hard. In other news, just the tap front of the show put out an article that talks about submission rates for various rule sets. This is something Emil and I talked about a while ago on one of our bonus shows towards the end of it. I think it was the Outliers show. We talked about at the end of that episode basically what rule set we thought fostered the most submission percentages and created the most action on the pros and cons of each rule set. He actually wrote a whole article and actually broke down, like, by the numbers, which organization has the highest percentage of submissions. A really cool article. Highly recommend you go and look at it. Let's see. We're trying
to
get
more.
Do you
know who likes the Outlier show?
Who?
Keith Krikorian.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him today. He was like, I like the show. I'm like, sweet. Dude, it was so weird today at Finishers how many people, like, I had the Grappling Rewind shirt. They're like, oh, I listened to your show. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Like,
can you give us some 5-star reviews on iTunes? Thanks.
That would be great. If you do like the show and you do listen to the show, share the show with your gym and review it on iTunes, because it honestly helps out a ton for the show. That's really how we get the opportunity to cover more stuff and gives us more resources to cover and do more things with the show. So that is, I really cannot say how much of a help that is. And I was, again, surprised that so many people came up to me like, I listened to your show. I was like, oh, shit. And I'm trying to think of every shitty thing I've said about anyone on the show. And I'm like, oh, God, please tell me I didn't say something terrible about you in one episode.
We're mostly really good with not being super terrible.
We try not to, because, like, we like
people.
Because we like, we cover stuff we like covering. And if, like, we didn't like covering it, we wouldn't talk about it. We try not to be shitty on the show intentionally, usually.
I try to.
Yeah, you do. You balance it out well. So that does it for news, pretty much, as we've just bumbled through this news section. Anything else, Josh?
No.
All right, let's get into it then. So onto a recap of Combat Jiu-Jitsu Fight Night, the absolute tournament. This also featured a bantamweight tournament as well. We're going to get right into it. We're going to run through some of the undercard matchups. Actually, we're just going to run through the bantamweight qualifier round first, starting with Brandon Moreno defeating
Ryan Carroll.
Jeez, I completely lost my place there.
You can't read?
Not, you know this, Josh.
You know this,
how many
man.
Episodes did we do straight where you know I can't read, and I stopped reading the names after like 10 weeks, and you started reading all the names?
Tons.
He wins by Darce.
Darce. Bo Brooks versus Robert Duran. Bo Brooks won via triangle choke. Benjamin Tapia versus Ricardo. Oh. Alarcon?
It's hard, ain't it?
Yeah, fuck you.
Alarcon, I think.
Alarcon.
Yeah.
He won via anaconda choke. Ray De Leon.
Stingray.
Is that Ray Ray?
It's Ray Ray.
Okay.
Yep. We saw him today.
I saw him
today at Finishers, and I saw him at Combat Jiu-Jitsu.
I was pretty sure his name was, that was Ray Ray, but I wasn't.
Yes, Ray Ray, yep.
He defeated Jeff Real by triangle choke.
On to the second round of the semifinals for the 135-pounders.
Brendan Moreno TKO'd Bo Brooks. That was pretty cool. He started really beating the shit out of him. Like, that's the only way to put it.
Dude, Moreno's got good ground and pound from...
Oh, you mean an MMA fighter has good ground and pound? Holy crap. I'm gonna touch on something after we finish up the bantamweight card. So let's keep moving on.
Well, no, I want to touch on this, because this is where stuff started to fall apart a little bit for me. Because this is when I realized, like, something was weird with the rule set or with the pacing of the event. Brandon Moreno TKOs Bo Brooks by strikes to the face, and it fell flat on me. And it was weird, and I don't know why. It didn't get me like, it wasn't this like, oh,
you weren't
cool.
Pumped?
It didn't get me pumped. I don't know why. And it was super weird. Like, it should have been this like really amazing, because the only other guy to TKO somebody in combat jiu-jitsu has been Wagner Hosha. And it was like a really cool moment. TKO, North and Trick.
Because it was
amazing.
The first time you ever saw it.
But I like knockouts. I like TKOs. It's exciting. For some reason, this didn't have that same level of excitement, and I don't know why.
I think the card itself led to that, honestly. I think this card, I mean, no offense, it fell apart for the big reason, because the absolute bracket. Not that anybody in the absolute bracket was bad, but
you lost a lot of your star power.
You lost all of the star power, except for Yuri. Like, you lost all of it. And not that Thor isn't a name, and he is the 185 CJJ champion.
Yeah.
You lost Josh Barnett, Verdum,
Vinny Magalhaes,
Rustam, like all of those dudes were gone. And then as soon as I saw the final card, after all the switches and everything happened, I called who won. I was like, Yuri takes this. He beats Steven Martinez. And I'm in and out of work all the time. I don't always communicate my thoughts to the Grappling Rewind chat. But I was like, John Blank's going to beat Kevin Casey. Kevin Casey is a game competitor, but he's beat the fuck up from years and years of jiu-jitsu. And I don't know how old John is, but I don't think he's that old.
Not 25. Young.
Yeah. So you're
athletic,
going against a guy
young,
that
and he knows
always wears a knee brace on his bad knee. People go after that knee all the time.
Kevin
and
Casey, by the way.
John was smart enough to go after that knee. Like, immediately. Because if you go up against a guy that's been training with Hickson and Crone for years, and you try to get into, like, just a legit jiu-jitsu match against a very, like, an accomplished MMA fighter as well,
yep,
you're going to get hurt. And John did the smart thing and just went after that leg really quick and finished it.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler, by the way, getting into that.
Yeah, you immediately jumped into that.
Whatever. I don't really care. Like, the scheme of things, like...
So we knew we were going to have Yuri and Thor in the finals.
I didn't think Steven Martinez was going to give Yuri that much of an issue.
That was interesting to me as
that
well.
That was
they
very
also,
interesting.
They didn't strike a whole lot in that match. We've skipped over the bantamweights. We're going to come back to that
we'll
in a second.
We'll come back
here.
To
Let's
it in a second. But this is going back into what I was going to bring up after the bantamweights was nobody still knows how to strike. None whatsoever.
Brandon Moreno...
A little.
In that one match, looked really effective at the end.
When he was on the top and Bo wasn't really giving any defense, yes. But even then, they didn't look that strong. He was just like, fuck, I'm getting hit. What do I do? And just kept getting hit. Okay, so it's open-handed strikes, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Is there any like difference in the rules or anything? Because guess what? A fucking karate chop is an open-handed strike.
I don't know.
But
I think it has to be palm. I think it has to be palm. I think you have to hit with the palm of the hand. I don't think you hit with the flat of the hand.
That's okay. You can't bring it down with the. I made a karate chop.
Yeah, you did. Under the mic. No, I do not. I think I believe it has to be
down.
Palm of the hand.
That's fine. That's fine. But you can still bring it down that way. And again, I've brought this up ever since we've covered CJJ. Is watch the fucking Boss Rutan instructional. Watch him when he fights in
Pancrase. Watch Pancrase.
The way he strikes knocked dudes out. And people complained a lot and said that he was punching using a closed hand when he wasn't. Again, I'm making hand motions and Maine's like smirking at me. Because
you've always done it.
That.
It just makes me laugh every time.
I have Italian blood. I talk with my hands.
Yeah, this is honestly like days where I want to get... Actually, my phone's broken now. It doesn't have a mic right now. So I'm trying to get that fixed this week. Dude, it's been a fucked up week for me. I actually want to potentially put a camera up and start doing this because I feel like watching you on YouTube do this show when the times you come in would be hilarious to watch just Josh. Actually, you guys get to see Josh talk with his hands because it is
a very
trip.
Animated.
Yeah. We're both super animated.
But the thing is, everybody, if you watch the strikes, they literally look like slaps. And they shouldn't look like slaps. They should look almost exactly like punches without being punches. They should be thrown as punches. Also, can you backhand? Is that allowed?
No, it's palm. It's palm. I'm pretty sure it's
okay.
Just palm.
I think it would be cool if you threw those in there too. But still, if people learn how to use the angles properly, you could legitimately fuck somebody up. Because I can tell you right now, just from like personal experience with hitting people while not punching them and, you know, doing karate and taekwondo for long enough to know how to do these fucking things and like having a black belt in those things, which means absolutely fuck all. You can hurt somebody legitimately with just your hand and just the way you strike. Even changing it from like a fully open palm to making like a quote-unquote tiger claw, and when Maine takes the picture that he always puts up, we just finished recording, I will make the tiger palm kind of hand strike thing. And if you hit somebody like that, because you're naturally not going to want to hit your fingertips on their face, the bottom part of your palm is going to strike them, and that's the hardest part of your hand on that side anyway, and that shit hurts. Also, people need to start striking to the collarbone and breaking people's collarbones. But that's just that. Let's go back to the bantamweights.
We're going to jump all around here. All right. So first round of the
No, we already did that one.
Second round of the semifinals of the bantamweights.
Richard Alarcon defeated Ray De Leon via rear naked choke.
And he was hitting.
That was in overtime, right? Or was it? Yeah, I think it was in overtime.
No, that was regulation. It was towards the end of regulation.
Okay, honestly,
Richard was doing good with the strikes here. I think this was another match where you started to see Ray start to get overwhelmed a little bit with the strikes. But
yes,
still,
and no.
I still agree with a lot of the points you said previously. I think the strikes opened up the positional exchange a little bit, but in this match we saw a lot of that middle range of combat jiu-jitsu where it's like guys don't really want to pass the guard and they don't want to stand up because you can't kick. You're left in this weird middle rangey battle with combat jiu-jitsu where it's like you can't really dive in because you're going to hit him once with a slap, then you're in a dangerous dude's guard.
No.
And you can't really...
No.
All right, continue.
No. That's the same thing. Like, again, you open hand, you ever, like, really smack the fucking... It's really hard to explain, but if any of you that are listening are also were or still are in the hardcore scene, and when you would...
We've gotten a real niche with our audience real quick.
I'm getting real niche. When you were moshing, or dancing, as it was called, and you would turn to, like, crowd kill, you know when you would swing your hand back and not have a closed fist and you would just fucking wallop people? It's the same thing. If you're standing over top of somebody, if you straight up...
Windmill. King Mo did it in Bellator to some dude passing the guard. He hit that windmill strike. Is that what you're talking about?
Sort of. What's that... Is squash the one with the weird curved handle, or is
high lie?
High lie. So you know in high lie how they throw it, and again, I'm making these things where you're gonna have to legitimately look this shit up and be like, oh, now I get it, because it doesn't translate very well via voice. But in high lie, how they cock back and throw it.
Yeah.
Right. Do that with your fucking hand, because as you come down, you're just essentially windmilling your hand and all of that weight. Aim for the fucking bridge of the nose. If you hit them in the face, it's going to fuck them up. If you miss, you're hitting them in the throat or right on the fucking bottom of the sternum, and you're going to fuck their shit up. I'm trying to fill in for a meal and fill all the fucks, by the way.
You're doing a good job so far, guys.
Thank you.
It's been a curse-heavy episode from the jump.
Thank you.
So, moving on to the next match in the finals for the bantamweight, we had Brandon Moreno versus Richard Alarcon.
He won via fastest escape time and is heading to the combat jiu-jitsu worlds.
Which I don't know.
No idea what the fuck that
is. They never explained it. And I even asked online, and people were like, yeah, they're kind of messing with the naming scheme. It's another event. Like, this is a fight night, and they're doing a Worlds. The first event was called Worlds, and an upcoming event is called Worlds as well. I don't really know what the difference is. Also, it was announced that Gordon Ryan will be facing Verdum at Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds for the heavyweight title, because this is the openweight title. Now we're doing the heavyweight title between those two guys.
This is also really interesting, and I can see this going one of two ways. One, Gordon Ryan goes after the legs really quick and submits him. Two, Gordon Ryan gets his shit pushed in by Verdum.
A multiple-time IBJJF black belt world champion in the gi, IADCC champion, like...
UFC champion, high-level MMA fighter.
Beat Fedor, beat Overeem. Beat Kane, beat, like, a gambit of experience.
Let's put it this way. When they were talking and interviewing them, Gordon was like, that dude's got huge hands. And referring to, I don't want to get hit by them.
Yeah.
Duh. Like, if you get walloped, and I have a feeling that if we see this fight and it goes to the ground and Verdum starts striking, you will see the striking that I'm talking about.
You'll see the difference.
But then you'll also see, and this, again... Love Gordon Ryan. Love watching him compete. I love the whole wrestling persona that he brings to jiu-jitsu. Dude's good, taking a fucking nap. Straight up. Like, you get hit a couple of times by those fucking fly swatters, and it's over. So, I see Gordon not striking at all. Immediately getting to positions, hiding his head, and taking the legs out.
Because he's got that more modern jiu-jitsu, because Verdum's been doing MMA for 10 years
forever
now. More than that. He's been out of jiu-jitsu for a long time, and Gordon's into that new meta. He still, don't get me wrong, he still has it, but there's, you got to admit, Josh is rolling his eyes hard as shit at me, that there is sort of a new meta since when Verdum was, you know, a champion in those organizations to now. It doesn't look quite the same as it used to, especially
Verdum's jiu-jitsu has been the same whether it was in MMA or whether it was in strictly jiu-jitsu.
You're right.
So I don't think it's like a big transition of anything. He can't kick you, and he can't close his fist and punch you in the mouth. Other than that, it's the same shit. So I think that's going to happen. Let's keep going. So we're sidetracking ourselves.
Let's finish out.
Let's go to the super fights.
All right, let's go to the super fights then, Josh, as you yell into the mic. Man, this, you always make it such a bitch to edit the show.
Hey, at least we're doing this now and not 9 o'clock on Monday night, and you have like an hour to edit it.
Yeah, you're right.
So shut the fuck up.
I appreciate it. Super fights. We had Kayla Patterson versus Beatriz Mosqueda.
This was like... Props to Kayla Patterson, but Bia was just all over her. Did she strike at all? I don't remember her striking. She just looked like
matches didn't. There was no striking.
She
just
looked like she was like, "I'm doing jiu-jitsu and I'm gonna murk you."
Yeah.
And what was funny was when they were going to pull her off the armbar, she was still holding it. I was like, "Ooh, she's nasty."
She. We've seen her hold a couple times.
She got a little bit of a mean streak in her, and I like that.
Next super fight match, Ray De Leon.
Ray in a super fight versus Elijah Tagalog, which always makes me think of Tagalo, the one of the languages spoke in the Philippines, and that's how it's spelt. Maine is making a my brain hurts
face. I'm making a thinking face because I love linguistics because I'm terrible at it, and I don't recall that language. So move on. It's not jiu-jitsu related, Josh. Elijah wins by fastest escape time in EBI overtime. Next super fight match, we had Kyle Bame versus Hunter Colvin. This is a cool-ass match because Kyle Bame is a dude known for submitting dudes really, really quick. We see him on it. He keeps coming up. I listen to a bunch of jiu-jitsu podcasts. He keeps coming up as a guy in the Midwest that everyone's talking about. All right, Josh.
Okay, well, guess what? Hunter Colvin was on that ass.
Dude, we saw Hunter Colvin last weekend, I think, at ADCC, or 2 weeks ago at ADCC Trials, made it far, looked really good.
He was on that ass.
Yeah, he looked really good. And he eventually locks up in like a nice triangle and like switches it over to the armbar and just lifts and beautiful. Like, again, really fun match. Really impressive win for Hunter. He's a guy that we are going to see more of. He's the guy at Brothers Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Josh is Googling the Tagalog language.
Tagalog, which is one of the languages that is spoken in the Philippines.
Not that I didn't believe you. I just...
And it's spelled the same way as this guy's last name, so... But whatever.
Great win for Hunter Colvin. Fun match to watch, honestly.
Brown versus Nick Maximov. And Nick Maximov won via triangle choke. He is from the Nick Diaz Academy. I'm not surprised. You see what I did there?
I did see what I did there? I was like, dude, I'm laughing while you're saying it.
All right.
That was really funny. So onto the absolute super fight bracket here. We already talked about first round.
Steven Martinez versus Yuri Samois. Yuri won via fastest escape in overtime. Steven looked good, and multiple points was, if we were in a point scoring situation, I think Steven may have won. But that's not the case.
Certain point. Now, Yuri racked up some points.
But so did Steven.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, that was surprising. But it was still good. It was a good match to watch. And going on once again, I'm sidetracking myself with my own thoughts.
This is what
Sorry.
You do, man. Everyone that's listened to the show before knows this is what you do.
I've got like 7 things going on at the same time in my head. John Thor Blank versus Kevin Casey. Again, Thor went after leg. Smartest thing he could have done. Took his fucking leg off really quick. I personally can't stand Kevin Casey, more so for his rap and his love of Spencer Pratt, who is a giant douche nozzle. He was on like the one of those stupid shows from like MTV or whatever.
All right, so
I can't
on.
Remember. He's dumb. Anyway, finals: Yuri Samois versus John Thor Blank. Yuri wins via knee bar, and he is the absolute champion.
That being said,
this was a great match. Thor looked amazing.
Thor fucked Yuri's leg up. So I talked to some people. Yes. I talked to some people this evening at the finisher's sub only, and apparently you're into the hospital after this. Your leg's pretty fucked up. Yuri was in that heel
John got caught in that weird transitional position where you're going after foot and the other guy is also going after foot, and it becomes a really quick battle. And I've been on the losing end of that battle like at least a dozen times where you're trying to go for something and they just crank that fucking foot and you're like, damn it, I gotta tap.
Yeah.
It was a great match. The finals was, it was really exciting that it finished in a submission. There's some kinks they need to work on. Did they take out strikes from the overtime?
It was,
they,
I don't
keep
know,
changing
I
the rules,
know,
and I can't keep up with it, and it's, they've really
got,
annoying.
They've got to post the rules somewhere. It this is a recurrent issue.
There's a lot of things, yeah, that they got to do. Eddie, stop acting like people are starting shit. Like when they announced Verdum versus Ryan, and he was pretending to hold him back.
Yeah.
I was like, they're being fucking cordial. Stop acting like a prick.
Yeah, the audio was messed up for a portion of
it. Oh, it was messed up for almost the entire event.
It was a quick event, honestly. It was like a 2-hour event.
No, it wasn't very long.
Which, honestly, which I liked. I
which
will say,
was
like,
nice,
I,
but it
I
sort
liked
of,
that it was quick.
It felt like it was longer than it was, though.
There was, because we had a bunch of matches, and this is, okay, this is me.
The matches
being,
went by. They just need to work out some of the kinks, and they need to explain the rules better.
This is me being critical a little bit. We had a couple matches on this card where we spent a lot of time, like, not
just jujitsuing and not hitting people.
I'm fine with that. Those
and pressure,
are the, those
just
are the
causing
points
pressure.
I was fine. We had a couple matches where dudes were in that middle range of the guard and, like, weren't doing anything. And it just, I am not, still not a big fan of the rule set. Like, I would much rather EBI go back to regular EBI non-striking rules. Like, I'm not a big fan of it. And I might be the only one, and it may just not be for me, but it's like, I miss the old EBI. I liked that rule set. I liked it was action. Like, the TKO victory for Moreno should have been amazing, but it was just like, okay, he, like, TKO'd him. And it was like the matches when they were just doing jiu-jitsu and not striking, like, that's what got me going. That's what I enjoyed.
You
so
know why it's
it might
really
just not be for me.
You know why it's really not exciting? It's because we already have MMA. Honestly.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Like, I don't know.
We already have MMA, and there's absolutely, like, in the scheme of things, you don't need it. You know what I mean?
We've kind of answered all of those what would happen in MMA questions already.
And you've made all these, like, wonky rules to do this stuff, like the get down rule. By the way, hate that. I think that's the dumbest thing, calling it the get down rule. It sounds like they're gonna dance. They're gonna have a dance.
You've always hated a name for that.
I hate a lot of things, but that's besides the point. It was a good event. It could be better. They still need to tweak out some stuff. The EBI stuff just flows better than the combat jiu-jitsu stuff. Honestly, you can squeeze one of these tournaments into an EBI card rather than just making it combat jiu-jitsu.
I'm happy that the women are still EBI. Like, that's great. Like, I wish they would. Honestly, I would much rather see Gordon Ryan versus Verdum in a regular, like, jiu-jitsu match.
In a grappling match? Hell
yes.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather see Yuri versus John in a grappling match. And, like, all of these matches that I enjoyed for this card, I would have rather seen in a grappling match. Like, that's...
Yes.
That's the thing. It's like, I want to see what these guys do as grapplers or as MMA fighters. This weird in-between is like, it just doesn't do it for me. So that was that event. It's on Fight Pass. The whole replay is up. You can probably go through the event in about an hour and a half.
If you get bored, you can literally skip through some things and speed it up even more.
It was great. So go back and watch it. It's on Fight Pass. So under a recap of BJJ Stars, this is not their inaugural event, but this is the first time that they have run like a big black belt professional event in a while.
Fuck that, I'm interrupting you. On to that shit where shit got wild. Holy fuck. So, let's get into it. I'm not bullshitting around with Maine rambling on. Motherfucking Herber Santos is a whiny fucking baby and then got mad because somebody called him a whiny baby. And then all of a sudden his fucking injury that he supposedly had fixed itself and he full on sprinted and tried to fucking stage dive on Felipe Pena's brother and tried to beat the shit out of him. So the fucking brawl breaks loose. People are going wild. People are booing. People are losing their shit. They sort of bring it down. Then he comes back on, tries to fight the motherfucker again. And then fucking Felipe Pena looked like he stomped on his fucking head when they were down on the ground. Shit was going wild. Herber Santos, no joke. Like, we jerk around about him. And competitor-wise, in the scheme of things, fucking great. But what a piece of shit for doing this, okay? And I'm not mincing words. fuck you, Herber Santos. You are a piece of shit. Why would you do this? You make jiu-jitsu, which is a niche sport. You know, people are like, oh, it should be in the Olympics. Here's another reason why we can't, because you have to act like a fucking cunt. Right? Like, you can't control yourself. Your dick's small enough to you where, like, I'm really mad somebody called me a fucking pussy, so I'm going to try to fight you. Dude, you were getting fucking worked. You almost got swept. You cried wolf. Oh, my knees broke, dude. And then somebody was like, pussy. And you had to go and try to attack him, and you couldn't really do anything, and then you got your head stomped on. Fuck you, Herber Santos. Moving on.
Man, I
summed it up pretty good, didn't
I? Yeah, I have, like, nothing. Like, I had, like, thoughts there I was going to throw in, and then, like, I'm going to have to spend, like, an hour editing that audio.
Oh, no. Leave
it. I'm
going to
leave it in, but you yelled so much.
Okay, this is what you do. So you edit ahead of time, right before. Just be like, all right, jumping into the recording, Maine just letting you know, caution headphone users. Josh is about to fucking scream his balls off.
Yeah. So, okay, so I do want to touch on this a little bit from actually like an analysis perspective for a second here. It did look like Herbert's knee did go kind of sideways in a weird way. It looked like he tweaked his knee initially.
Whatever.
No, it doesn't.
He fucking Usain Bolted out of the goddamn ring.
He did.
Khabib jumped on Felipe Pena's brother.
He tried. And he knocked over a woman in the process, and she got...
Yeah, that's the other thing! We have to go by this. I'm going to keep yelling. I'm not even kidding.
Right, so this happened. Felipe Pena gets the victory. He is now the champion for BJJ Stars at whatever weight class this took place
at. That
was
a DQ, by the way, because Herber Santos is a piece of shit.
He was escorted out.
I hope somebody fucking hit him in the head with a beer bottle on his way out.
Yeah, Josh. It sucks, though, because like, I like covering Herber, and like this...
I did, but man. Apparently he's so much of a fucking child that he can't take criticism... After he's saying, ugh, like, I can't tell you how many times where I fucked up something in a match and then just kept going and didn't say stop. And if I said stop, the ref stopped the match because that's the end of the fucking match, because that's pretty much a verbal tap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You fucking whined and then you took off like you were being chased by a pack of rabid dogs and started a fight and started a fucking brawl twice.
Yeah. So it happened. You can find the video everywhere.
Fuck that.
It sucks. I wanted to see the match, actually. And
he fucked it up for everybody.
On to the next match. We had Marcos Almeida Buchecha. Dude, everyone loves to say his name. Every time.
Stop adding accents to it like you're not the most fucking milquetoast person in the world.
I am, but I love doing it.
Just call him Buchecha.
Buchecha. Everyone who announces Buchecha out stylizes his name hard as shit. The Pride lady does. The ACBJJ lady does.
Lynn Hart.
Whoever this was. Yeah, she did. Everyone just, like, put some flair on that name, and it's awesome. So he was versus João Gabriel Rocha.
And this match sucked.
I mean...
João Gabriel won. This match wasn't good.
It was close.
I can't lie... He won by 3 advantages.
This is kind of the whole thing with BJJ Stars is I like the matchups. I like that they got big level guys.
I wish it was shorter matches.
Matchups I want to see. Yeah, I think 6 minutes would be good.
Yes.
But the thing that was really interesting is it's basically the rule set is IBJJF. And every competitor approached like IBJJF. And we've seen when you run these IBJJF style super fights, like this is kind of the style of the matches that you get. Like you get these slower, grindy, advantage fighty position, especially when you get like two of the best guys in the world, like Buchecha and João Gabriel. Like in the gi, those two dudes are some of the best guys in the world in the IBJJF rule set. And so you get guys that have to play for advantages. Like you're not going to score 14 points on a guy. It's not going to happen at that level. It doesn't happen at that level. So
we're going to move on to the card a little bit lower, and I'm going to prove Maine wrong. Anyway. It wasn't really that exciting of a match. There is some technical stuff. Yeah, there is advantages. I'm interested to see what happens when they run into each other at Worlds and how Buchecha changes his game up to beat the boringness.
Because he's beat him before.
Yeah, but to change up the boringness of the match. I mean, last year I said João Gabriel's match with Otavio Nalati was literally the most boring thing I've ever watched in my entire life.
It was up there.
So he can create like snooze jitsu essentially, and it's not that he's not a good competitor, but
he's a great competitor, but he can make matches
so boring and unwatchable almost. But let's move on to the next match, which was certainly more exciting.
I was hype about this match. Nicholas Mergali versus Leandrolo. Okay, so
this is the third or the fourth time that they've...
Fourth, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think they're...
Two and two now?
Two, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's correct.
Yes.
Okay. Give me Mergali's last name.
How do Mergali? You say
it? Just Mergali? Is it not?
Mergali.
Because they say it in Portuguese, and it's got like a little... It like sounds
so
like a little
he
thick.
Might say Mergali.
Okay, that's what I heard then.
So... We're just, again, we're white people, so we're just say we sort of pronounce it phonetically, but we've also heard, like, what's his name from Flo?
Highwell?
Yeah, Highwell Teague, where he says Nicholas Mergali.
Yeah, okay, maybe
that's probably his name, and we're just butchering it, but we've been
I wanted to clarify, because Josh is the, of the team we have here at the Grappling Rewind, the more of the namey guy.
Dude. Fucking,
which is not.
I was listening to last week's episode, and Emil was butchering some fucking names. It was hilarious.
But the funny thing is, like, I give shit to Emil, but there's a reason why Emil doesn't not me because I'm.
I don't know.
Way worse.
Sometimes I'm like, is he really Hispanic? Like, he can't pronounce these names. Terrible Puerto Rican, that guy.
So on to this match. This was fun. Like, I enjoyed this match. These guys had beef at the beginning. I couldn't care if it was real beef or not beef.
I think he might have just hyped it up. Because it was funny if you watched the weigh-in videos.
Low shows Mergali in the weigh-in, during the weigh-in. Like,
yeah.
Pretty hard.
I think he was getting himself psyched up because I think this is his return after his shoulder surgery, right? If I'm not mistaken, this is his return from his shoulder surgery.
He looked fucking good.
He did, but I don't know if he was ready for that pace of Mergali.
He pushed a pace. Like a fat, like.
Dude,
he's young. He's athletic. He's big.
He's a fucking stud.
And he's long for the division.
Stud.
Like, he can stand with a pants grip at, like, full height with his arms down low. Like, he can just.
Stud.
He can just do some physical stuff. And Lowe started his career at lightweight. Like, Lowe's got a. He's a big.
Lowe was cutting to get to lightweight. Lowe was cutting to get to middleweight. And then he was like, man. Because it's been documented very well that the dude loves drinking, like, soda and eating. Like, he really should be a fat guy. And, again, from experience, when Unity opened originally and they did, like, big seminars and Lowe was there and I got to roll with him, that dude feels so fucking heavy. I was like, I know I'm heavier than you right now and I cannot create the amount of pressure that you're creating.
So maybe he's back, but again, so let's talk about the match. This is a fun matchup. I like Mergali's huge for the division. This match was good back and forth until the last, like, 15 seconds, and Mergali turned on the fucking afterburners.
Dude, just amazing. The kid, again, is a stud. I can't wait to see both of these guys at Pans and Worlds and seeing if, like, Mergali can go to that next step and next level and put pace on all the people in the absolutes and his weight division. I'm so stoked to see him compete.
Yeah.
I'm also stoked to see Low compete. I just wish he didn't compete as heavy as he did. I think he would fare better at like medium heavy as his regular weight class instead of heavyweight or super heavyweight.
He's just he doesn't have quite the frame that those, like you saw in this matchup, like Mergali is significantly longer and bigger than he was.
And don't get me wrong, he's got the technique and everything to stop all these people.
They both do, definitely.
But I think Low would be better in a lighter weight class. You want to move on after that?
Yeah, it was good. Mergali gets the victory by points.
So good.
Deservedly. Honestly, this is a match you could go back and rewatch.
Precursor. They might be on YouTube, but right now BJJ Stars does not have the replay up.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know.
Yeah, the pay-per-view was like $13. Honestly, I was happy to pay for it. Like, it was... This is an
event. I think all of us paid for it.
It
wasn't like one person paid for it and we all went over that person's house.
No.
We all fucking paid for it.
Yeah, we all individually, which is a rare. Usually it's like one person, I'm getting it, come over here and we watch it or something like that. This was like, Josh is like, I bought it already. I'm like, well, I bought it already.
We bought it at like the same exact time.
Yeah, literally like within 5 minutes of each other, I'm like, I bought it. Okay, sweet. And we both watch it. So again, support events like these, they're cool. Honestly, the cool thing about this is it felt like Metamoris when Metamoris was still really good. Like, it had that
level.
And
they were paying people?
They never were paying people, but, like...
They were originally.
The first, but it had that same vibe where it's, like, the stadium looked full, the crowd was into it, the competitors were high level. Like,
yeah.
It did a lot of things right. I don't really like the cover band, but...
Oh, that was my favorite part. And I'm not going to lie, because there were some points
so
where,
if
like,
if you didn't watch the event, they'd finish a match and they would cut to this Brazilian cover band of like 2000s like pop songs.
No, not just it literally, like, they were covering songs from like the early 2000s all the way up until roughly about now. All in English. It wasn't like they were translating it to Portuguese. It was all in English.
Dude, that dude was not a native English speaker.
Well, obviously, but you could tell, like, he worked hard to make sure he was almost enunciating it 100% correct. And the guitarist and the singer were really getting into their things. And the chick bassist was, like, standing. She looked tall as shit, too. And she's just over there just, like, rocking out on her bass and everything. And they are playing all these fucking songs. And, you know, I'm watching on my laptop and my wife's in bed. And she's like, what the fuck are you watching right now? And why are they playing
Rachel
this
every week for me?
She's like, why are they playing this terrible music? And I laughed so much. Like, every time a new song came on, like Sex on Fire came on, and I was dying. I was fucking dying. I mean, I couldn't control myself. I was like, they need to be on everything. Because they really worked their shit, and they were covering everything. I was really hoping they would play Smash Mouth All Star.
That's what it seemed like was going to happen. It was that sort
I really
of vibe
wanted
of cover
that.
Band.
I wanted that, and I wanted them to not understand like context, and then play "Rape Me" by Nirvana. Like, I wanted those two songs to be played because it would have been super awkward.
But no one would have got it.
No. That, or they just, like, did, like, Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson. Like, just, or, like, a fucking Slipknot song or something. That would be hilarious.
So, it was interesting. They do it in between bouts. So, on to the next bout, we had
Renato Babalu Sobral versus Roberto Godoy. Main legitimately was like, who is that?
No. I said, I recognize the name. I'm blanking on, like, I'm unfamiliar with this competitor, Josh.
Who is that?
Please come on the show, because I'm going to sound like an idiot, because I don't.
Who is that?
It's an older Brazilian dude that was around before I got really into sports jiu-jitsu.
So,
full disclosure with you guys.
So let's get this right. If you're newer to jiu-jitsu, you're like me. You don't know who that is, right?
No, I know who it is. I just didn't watch him compete.
You don't know who it is.
Fine.
If I say that name to people that have been around jiu-jitsu long enough, they know exactly who it is, and they know his contribution to jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
Which is the fucking half guard. Like, not that it wasn't a real thing or it wasn't around before, but the guy popularized it. Like, modern half guard, like, anything that you see off a half guard right now is because of this dude. Like, the half guard is because of this dude. Like, beforehand,
it was considered a contribution.
Before, it was considered like a stalling position, and it got poo-pooed, and people fucking booed at you for it. But this guy fucking, he did that. Unless this is literally a different Roberto
Godoy. No, it's
Godoy.
Him. He put Babalu in half guard and did half guard stuff most of the match. That's what happened.
Babalu is a black belt, but he's more of a wrestler, which is wild to me.
But he still competes in the gi. Not infrequently.
No,
videos
which is,
of him pop up all the time, and him in the gi doing jiu-jitsu in the gi and competing in the gi.
But, you know, it was a match. It was all right. Godoy won. Same thing with the next match. I'm going to be real with you. Like, Megaton Diaz, Wellington Diaz, Mackenzie Dern's dad, versus Marco Barbosa, and he lost. Like,
that's right. All right. Next match.
That was it.
We had Tim Spriggs versus Patrick Gaudio.
Okay, so now, remember a few minutes ago when Main said you're not going to score 14 points on these high-level dudes?
All right.
What did Patrick Gaudio do to Tim Spriggs?
I mean,
he scored 14 points
on
Tim Spriggs. Now, I think Tim Spriggs should have gotten more points than he had at the end, because when he swept over to mount, I think he should have got mount points. He held mount long enough to where I thought he should have gotten mount points. But he didn't. But he got worked. Like, Gaudio, who now has a tattoo on the side of his head. Like, that dude is just, like, not that it has anything to do with anything.
He's so good, too. Like,
but he's
so good. Like, dude, Tim Spriggs just won the Nogi Worlds this year. Like, the first, like.
Well, this is the gi, so what does that matter?
It doesn't matter, but no, it does matter. Okay? And here's why.
No, because the gi and Nogi are two separate things. No matter how much you'd be like, oh, my gi game and my Nogi game are the same exact thing.
Right.
The grip game is totally
different. But I'm saying, like, not average regular dudes in 2019 don't, or 2018 don't win a world event. Like, you got to be really fucking good. Tim Spriggs is really good. Patrick Gaudio is
better.
Insane. Like, look at his resume. And so getting beat by Gaudio isn't like
he just worked him over, and like, that's hard to do.
It just
to
shows you how good,
and
Gaudio
it just shows
is.
You how good he
and
is.
And it's just insane to like wonder. I wonder what that guy's ceiling is, because we've seen Gaudio and like, and just watching him do put that many points on a guy like Spriggs.
They did a quick video on Flow Grappling of his strength and conditioning, and talked about his like training regime, and he trains a lot.
Dude, all of them do.
A lot. Like,
not a little, but a lot.
Yeah. That's one of the guys where if they were like, he got popped for steroids, I wouldn't be surprised. But it's not steroids to make him stronger. It's steroids so he can recover, so he can keep training.
None of these guys, honestly. Full disclosure. I hope most of these guys are doing something that they shouldn't be doing for their body to keep them, like, in better. The highest level. And also, so, like, we can get more out of them. We can see them compete more than, like, 3 or 6 years. So they're not just destroying their body. Like, I hope.
Full disclosure. Grappling Rewind loves steroids.
Oh, yeah. Dude. I want all of my athletes that want to be on steroids. Juice to the gills, because they put the best performances on, do the most exciting shit. They have the best gas tank, and they recover the most, and I can see them perform the most. If you want to be a clean athlete, good on you. I fully support that as well. But if you want to be juiced to the gills so I can smell it on you when you walk in a room, fully support that.
I like how we have like this really polarizing thought process. Like, we want you to do steroids because it's the same thing with baseball. Don't tell me you're a fan of baseball and you like baseball right now after the whole steroid thing went
down.
Everyone
loves hitters.
Everyone loves home runs. If you smash a ball and it goes into the water outside of the stadium, people are stoked. We're in Baltimore, so if you're at an Orioles game and somebody smashes a fucking home run and it hits the warehouse and breaks a window behind where the stadium is, there's a decent amount of blood flow to your penis.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
You were going with that. Something's going on. There's a lot of blood flow to your loins, and you're super excited because you're like, fuck yeah, that guy smashed the shit out of that ball.
It's the same thing with like a good Hariyoshi. It's like, man, that guy smashed the shit out of that guy.
Yo, you see Tim Spriggs do a good fucking train wreck throw, and you get a chub, okay?
Moving on to the next match. I got to get Josh off the chubs because he will go. I will cut minutes of this show out that are unreleasable.
DJ Jackson versus Izaki Behance. It was tied 2-2. I thought DJ won. The crowd, I think, thought DJ won because they booed the shit out of Izaki when they were like, he won. And then you just hear,
dude, like, Brazilian crowds will tell you what they think.
Dude,
that's one thing I appreciate about Brazilian crowds is they are vocal and they get into shit more than almost any other crowd.
DJ Jackson did what DJ Jackson does. Like,
that's what he does.
He's a 5'6" spark plug. He might be 5'7". I don't know.
He's about my height.
Yeah, somewhere around there. But he is a mini fridge, but not like the squat mini fridges, like the half fridges.
Fire hydrant is like.
Yeah, fire hydrant is good.
Like, not like derogatory wages. Like, that dude has a base on him. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
You need a fucking wrecking ball to tip him over from guard.
There is I want to make a highlight of just, like, guys failing to sweep Jackson.
I just want to Photoshop his face on top of a fire hydrant. Because that's what that dude is, like, this squat, stout, and he's always been that way. And, again,
you competed against him.
Years ago. All he did was, like, no wrestling and just had a gas tank for days. Like, he didn't know very many. He knew Kimura, Key Lock.
It was like blue belt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very long time ago. And I couldn't knock him over. He also laughed at me when I dropped to a knee to shoot a double, and he was like, heh. And then I hit him on a duck under and took his back. And I wanted to laugh, but I didn't. And that's, you know, the highlight of my career. I hit a duck under on DJ Jackson and took his back.
At blue belt. Like, the person. He's funny. Like, all the TLI guys.
You know how people are like, I'm a world champion. And they leave out. At blue belt. There it is. That highlight.
Dude,
took DJ Backstreet's back.
I'm a world champion.
At Naga.
Uh-uh.
At Blue Belt.
At Blue Belt, at Good Fight, in the gi. That 1 year, I had a 45-minute match with a guy in the finals. Who won
that
by,
one
and
year.
I won by a DQ because he tried to heel hook me in the gi because it was 40 minutes in, and it sucked.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Next match.
Okay, this one crushed a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah.
Like, no joke. So, Delson Petechumbo versus Fernando Terere.
I cannot say his last name, man.
And you talked about it last week with Emil. Ugh. The thing that I don't think a lot of people realize, especially nowadays, when if you haven't been in jiu-jitsu that long, is the people that came out of Terere's gym and the people that Terere has beaten. Just Galvao? Or like Cobrinha, or
Cobrinha
like,
and Galvao.
Like
those,
all
those
people
are the
that
two
like
guys that everyone kind of forgets.
Oh, there's more than
from
that.
From the split.
But like when TT was a team, Terere and Telles, because Eduardo Telles and Fernando Terere had a gym. It was called TT, and this was, you know, after the alliance split because of a whole shit. This was, you know,
honestly,
after
BJ Heroes has a really good article on a lot of that, and it's actually really interesting.
Yeah,
and I refreshed myself before like doing this because I went, I know Terere, but I know I'm gonna say something stupid, so I looked it up and I read some stuff. I was like, oh, okay,
now
I remember.
Dude, peep that Terere versus Marcelo match where Marcelo gets triangled.
It's literally, I just finished watching it the day before BJJ starts. I was like, oh, look at this match, and I went up watching. I was like, oh shit, I
forgot
about this.
Or watch Fernando Terere versus Fabricio Werdum in an absolutes at Worlds, and the entire gymnasium going absolutely apeshit while Terere dances around. After he loses, like, the whole crowd is losing their fucking mind. And this guy just lost.
Back in the Mundials, we're in Brazil.
Back in the Tijuca Tennis Club. Anyway, from the get-go, Terere pulled guard and Petechumbo just ate him up. Like, he honestly, and like, I don't want to sound
Disparaging
of Terere, but he just looked lost. And then he got hit with a bread cutter choke and got tapped. And I was just like, wow, I'm kind of depressed that that match just happened. And, you know, he had his troubles because he was an awesome fucking competitor. And then, like, he freaked out on a plane over to America. He got banned from America for a while. He got really into drugs.
Yeah.
He sold his fucking black belt for drug money. Like, there's a story about how, like, one of his guys gave him his black belt back after he came back, after he was clean. I think it was at, like, the Europeans or something a couple years ago. And the guy gave him the black belt that he had sold for money so he could buy drugs, gave it back to him. Like, the dude's had a little bit of a rough life. He came from a rough area. He's cleaned up. He's running a social project, you know. And he was an amazing competitor. There is so much stuff that you can watch from this dude and like how fucking good he was and the people that came out of his gym. And I mean, you even saw it a couple years ago when Galvao joked around and said he gave Cobrinha his black belt. And that was only because Terere was like out of the country or something. And Terere said, give him his black belt. But think about that. This guy produced two
outliers.
Amazing competitors in Galvao and Cobrinha, plus several others that you don't know about. Here's another thing. If you've not been in jiu-jitsu that long, watch Arte Suave 1 and 2. You can find them on YouTube. You see that shit.
It's the giant tattoo that Craig Jones has on his, which means gentle art.
Well, tons of people have Arte Suave, but I'm talking about the actual documentary.
The documentary, but yeah.
But, you know, it was sad to see it go down like that, but shit happens.
On to the next match.
Yeah. Celso Vinicius. What did Emil call him, like Kelso?
No, he didn't. We know Celso Vinicius.
He did not say Celso. Do I have to rewind my phone? I'm listening to the podcast. Like, it's on there. He doesn't say Celso. Celso Vinicius versus Gabriel Rolo Palito. That's his nickname. Not a super exciting match. Celso's getting a little older. He was.
This card featured a lot of guys that are getting a little older.
A little older, but back in the day, that dude was a monster. And I kind of was in and out. I wasn't very exciting. I'm going to be like 100% honest. I was kind of not paying attention while this one was happening. It is what it is.
On to the next match.
Carlos Eduardo da Silva was defeated by Hikaru Hosha. And in the opening match of the night, Bianca Basilio absolutely murked Michelle Nicolini. Like, she just beat her up. And that's another thing. Like, Michelle, I think she's still fighting. I don't think she's, like, in the main jiu-jitsu scene much anymore when it comes to, like...
We see her...
Occasionally.
We see her majors. At major fiber jiu-jitsu, we
sometimes,
see her.
But we've seen her losing, like, or at least I have.
Yeah, back and forth. We've seen her win stuff. We've seen her take second a lot.
Bia's just, you know...
Bia's just
the younger
on
one, and she's
going
on.
Into her prime and just, yeah. Like, really super... Again, another super dominating, good performance.
Once it comes up, watch the event again. You can zip through it. You can. Hopefully they leave the cover band in there. You can see what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's fucking great.
It is worth your time. It was a cool event, and supporting cool events like this is how you get more cool events like this, because they feature a lot of, like, older guys that are pioneers of the sport
and
that
newer
are
guys.
Still doing it. And newer guys that are still doing it. So
it was definitely worth the $12. I'm not upset that $12 and some change on this. Like, it was a great event. Like, it had that sort of AC BJJ feel where, like, you see all of these guys, like, yeah, and you're sort of let down, but you're still super excited about the most of it, and you're like, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
It's ups and it's down.
I don't like IBJJF rule sets for super fights with a 10-minute format. We've seen it for ACBAJ. We've seen it for BJJ Stars. We've seen it for a couple other promotions. Like, it's fine. It showcases good jiu-jitsu, but it does not showcase exciting jiu-jitsu, and that becomes a problem when things run multiple events because they lose their viewership. And we've seen it happen before, and I want to see these kind of super fight cards continue to be made. And in order to do that, you have to have the viewership, and it just always concerns me when super fight organizations use the IBJJF rules and the scoring. The rules are fine, but it's the scoring for the super fight matchups. Yeah. And I hope that they potentially change that and continue to run events, because this event, you know, really delivered.
When you get the chance, go back and watch it. I'm pretty sure you've seen Herbert Santos try to beat up people. Shame on him. You heard me scream at the beginning of this. That's all I got to say about that.
So on to our recap of Grapple Fest 4 in Liverpool, Great Britain. This event took place on February 23rd and was headlined by black belt Craig Jones defeating Gabriel Arjus via rear naked choke. Let's start with that.
Craig Jones, man. Craig fucking Jones.
Fucking good.
He's got a sweet ass.
Jesus. Josh, I gotta cut this now.
No. You guys saw the Instagram post. You saw that booty. Tell me I'm lying.
Oh, the promotional
post. Do you remember the movie Orgasmo?
Yeah.
You know the part where Matt Stone plays the weird dude with, like, the mullet, and he's like, I don't want to sound queer or nothing. And he always says something like, Depeche Mode is a pretty sweet band. Or, like, the one time he's like, I don't want to sound like queer or nothing, but he's got a pretty sweet ass.
Moving on to this match.
It immediately made me think of that.
I was really happy that we saw Craig Jones play from top here, and that we finally saw, like, an active Craig Jones match. Like, what we saw after post-ADCC, before guys kind of figured out the saddle entry from the bottom, we saw Craig playing on top. We saw his wrestling. Like, we saw Jones open up.
We saw a slick motherfucking pass of the single leg X directly onto the fucking back, because he just sort of hunkered and threw himself into a really loose quarter guard from Arjus, and then immediately swooped around, locked in that choke quick as fuck, and put in a body triangle and tapped out Arjus, which is another huge
name. A huge victory for Craig Jones.
I
was really impressed with how he actually took the back here, because I watched it a couple times and, like, he jumps over and he gets stuck in, like, the top in the quarter guard.
He kind of floats it over and slides into the position.
Yeah, and then Arjus takes the quarter guard. Okay, I'm not going to, like, take mount here. So
dude,
he takes
got
the quarter guard
back
and then
scooped up so quick.
And then Craig, like, just, like, drops behind him here.
Well, he goes to sit down and the hip goes down and he lifts him at the same time.
Yeah.
So, and when he lifts, he comes around and then just boop, gets into the position, immediately locks that body triangle in and locks in the choke at roughly the same time and gets the tap.
I was really
super quick.
Really amazed how quick the tap hit, because it didn't, again, the angle for this isn't great, and that's kind of my only gripe with this, is that they're finished for the Lachlan finish and for the Craig Jones finish. It's kind of hard to, the angle isn't the best angle, but Gabriel, like, immediately, I don't know if it was on the jaw or if it was up or why, how he was able to tap him that quickly. It was instantaneous once they got the hands together. It was, I, like, especially from a dude that esteemed. I don't know why Argus, how, what Jones did to tap Argus that fast.
Squeezed his fucking arteries closed?
It was like a second. It was like 1 second.
Motherfucker's like an octopus.
He's got that giant Octo Suave tattoo on his body.
That's why I did that. You're welcome. Back there. You're welcome. So,
good, great match. Really, really good. Again, huge
win
for Craig
Jones. The whole event video
is
up, so watch that shit.
Yeah. On the co-main event, we had Lachlan Giles defeating Bradley Hill via heel hook. This finishing sequence was interesting because Lachlan Giles did something that I've never seen before, and Josh has corrected me and gone, yeah, I do this all the time. Lachlan Giles had Bradley's leg.
He had opposite
on his shoulder.
Leg control with his legs and then had control of the leg that he was attacking with his arms, and he was holding it by the calf.
But he was holding it with his forearms by the calf. He wasn't
hands. He was almost rear naked choking.
Yeah,
it.
And he had almost like a violin arm lock grip on the leg, but controlling with his hands over the calf. And it was just, I don't recall ever having seen this grip before. Like
so, it's
this.
Like a major position of control because he didn't have full control with his legs to attack that leg
right.
until a few seconds later when he finishes it again. And you can't see the finish because there was one camera, so or one angle anyway. So you don't see exactly. He more than likely just slides up because if you keep that grip,
yeah.
you can
I
just
mean,
slide
it,
up.
It looks like he gets the heel hook off like a pretty standard heel hook entry,
yeah.
but the control for the calf was what was really interesting here for me because I don't see very many guys control the calf that way. He had a really, really tight bite with that double overhand grip on the calf muscle itself, pulling it into the body. You just
right.
don't see it a whole lot. It's really interesting. Lachlan has some really great stuff. He puts out some great free instructionals too, so I
yeah,
assume
absolutely.
That somewhere he's got an instructional on exactly what he was doing here,
more
but it was
likely.
Cool to see against a guy like Bradley Hill.
So let's
move on to the main card.
I like how you said onto the main card, like that wasn't part of the main
card.
Okay,
we had the main event, we had the co-main event, we had the main card, Josh. these matches are above the main card. These are the co-main and the main events. So on the main card, we have
the main event of the main card. It's just the main event of the evening.
All right, Josh, you're walking me in circles here because I'm wrong. I'm trying to get out of it. Hold my feet to the fire here.
Fionn Davies defeated Christine Martin via rear naked choke.
Big win. Fionn gets the back here and just like lifts up. And Christine fights it.
Fionn's just a beast-ass competitor.
Yeah.
We've seen her a bunch of times. She's such a great competitor.
She gets the lift and like has Christine's legs like flared out where there's not even any contact on the thighs on the mat, belly down, beautiful rear naked choke, you know, great finish, another big win for Fionn.
Freddie Voskron defeated Ash Amos via inside heel hook.
Freddie came out. I do. I love Kerwin.
He always comes out in a fucking singlet.
Yeah, I met him at DC Open. And,
dude, he's a fucking monster. He's thick.
We might actually have an interview with him soon.
Oh, look at Maine yeah. reaching out. Again, I can't and Emil can't and anybody else can't say enough about Maine fucking hustling. Again, if you're talking to Grappling Rewind via Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you're more than likely talking to Maine. And Maine is doing like 18 billion things at once and somehow still sleeps and somehow doesn't get more injured than he already is and somehow maintains some semblances of a relationship.
Rachel went with me. Rachel went with me today.
How much did she hate you in the car ride?
She had a great time at the event, but she was not feeling good most of the day, and so she slept like 3 hours up because I woke her up early. I was like, "Hey," and she's like, "Oh." She got in the car. We drove up, yeah, and then she got there. She was like, felt like shit all day, and then like watched the event, and, like helped me take notes and helped me do some stuff at the event itself. And she was like, "That was a good event." And
yeah.
It was funny. So we'll talk about finishers next. Three of the women that were on the finishers card, she has competed against.
There you go.
And I was like, look at that. So Freddie Voskron came out in the wrestling singlet.
Immediately went for the leg.
And dude, he's inverted. He's a big ass dude. I think he's over 110 kilos or something like that. He's a big.
Above 100 kilos.
Above
100
kilos.
Still like 220 plus pounds.
Big dude, yoked, and he inverts effortlessly.
Yeah.
It was impressive. I was really impressed.
Once people started really figuring it out, it's not that hard to do. Like,
but you still don't see as many
so
big guys do it.
When I started doing it, my stomach got in the way most of the time. But now it's easier to like avoid that. And
yeah, you got less fat.
And sort of, well, I got fat again, but still.
But still not as fat.
Right.
Like, not like grossly fat. You just
right.
got like a little overweight.
Oh, every time I see pictures of myself right now, I'm like, ugh, God, you can do so much better.
You can, but you know. You got
to learning to hinge at like the hip, essentially. stealing a yoga term, where you hinge at your hip, and you just invert, and it becomes effortless. So good on him. That looked really awesome.
Dude, Ashton was a dope competitor, too.
Yes.
I think, I don't know if Freddie's a black belt now or about to get his black belt, but he was a brown belt when I met him at DC Open. And I think he's from Germany, I want to say. And
Anyway, let's keep going.
Great. Great match. Go back really quick. Inside heel hook.
Lloyd Cooper defeated Gregor Strachey via straight footlock. Sean McDonough defeated Marcus Phelan via armbar. Owen O'Flanagan defeated Chris Walsh via outside heel hook.
Dude, Owen is a dude we're seeing more and more
in
the UK.
He keeps popping up on all this stuff.
He keeps popping up. He keeps putting on good performances, too. So
hell yeah.
He's a guy that I foresee seeing on the main card coming up sooner rather than later on some of these UK events.
Well, he's on the main card right now.
All right, sorry. Appearing at like a co-main or a main event on
Suck
the main
it.
Card. Sooner rather than
anyway,
later.
Anyway, Isaac Michel defeated Nathan Dune via inside heel hook. There seems to be a thing with leg locks.
Dude, I saw so many leg locks today, and this weekend was a leg locky weekend, because we're reading the events in order, so this is the third event of the weekend, and it was a heel hooky kind of weekend.
All right, moving on. Nick Forer defeated James Orr via rear naked choke. Jamie Hughes defeated Ian Jones via decision. Brian Fitzgibbon defeated Jack Rimmer via Kimura. Jordan Cooper defeated Ciarán Broen via decision. Moving on to the preliminary card, Lee Simpson defeated Chris Regan via inside heel hook. Neil Atkins defeated Higo Gomez via decision. Adam Ellis defeated Paul Webb via decision. Kev Corkill defeated Nick Fielding via inside heel hook. Dan Hope defeated Kenny Richardson via decision. Brad McDonough defeated Kane. I want to say that's Kane. Or Kayan?
K-A-I-Y-N.
I'm bad with those kind of names. Kane McKnight via rear naked choke. Josh Charrington defeated Tom Barry via outside heel hook. Ben Hills defeated Jamie Shattuck via guillotine. Igor Puskarkis defeated Mateus Urbanek, yes, via guillotine. Aaron Jordan defeated Andrew Hardwick via armbar. Hannah Garrett defeated Georgia Doe via straight armbar. Shea Williams defeated Elliot Cole via decision. Nathan Kay defeated Ollie Bates via decision. Finn Carey defeated Tyrese Cunliffe via outside heel hook. Mike Ray defeated Really? Is that a misprint or is that a
Steve Bowie.
Stay? It's S-T-E, not... You know. Stay Bowie via decision. David Graham defeated John Patton via decision, and Chris Nickel defeated Sean McGinnis via decision.
So the whole event is up on Flow Grappling. Take a look at it. It's about 5.5 hours long. 5 hours, 15
minutes
long.
There's an intermission.
There's an intermission in the middle of it that's fairly
like
long
that.
As well. So go back and watch it. Really good event. So a quick piece of correction. I was at the event live that we're going to cover next. I was going off of some mental notes I had made in a couple of the matches. I misremembered a little bit, especially the Nick Rodriguez match. He took the back a different way off a single leg instead of off of the same way he did at ADCC. So you'll hear a couple things like that in the next segment. My bad. So under a recap of Finishers Invitational 8 presented by Show the Art. I was at this one live today. It was great. Very tired. Talked to a lot of great people. We've talked about it through the rest of the episode. Talked to a lot of great people through the event. If we don't talk about you on the show, it's nothing. You know, this is just, we're already an hour and 15 minutes into the show. At this point,
Jesus.
I had a great time at the event. Highly recommend if you are in the area near these, go to one of these events. Go to a professional grappling event. Like, if you've never been to
always
one,
fun.
Go to one. They are great fun. Everyone, I'm always amazed how amazingly friendly everyone is at these events.
Dude, most jiu-jitsu people are really friendly. And if you run into somebody and it's not friendly, are you sure they're not warming up or getting into that mindset to fuck somebody up? Because a lot of people have been like, man, I'll just use an example because he's in the local area. They're like, man, Ryan Hall's a dick. I tried to talk to him in this hallway. I'm like, there you go. The motherfucker's warming up and you're trying to talk to him and he's getting in this mindset to try to fuck somebody up. You know?
I try not to approach anyone before their match unless it is well before their match, if they're in different clothes, or if they're like – shooting the shit and talking to people, then I will come up and talk to them.
Be fucking polite and courteous. Don't just start rambling on, just like, you know, hi, Ryan, how are you? I'm so-and-so. Introduce yourself. Don't just be some, like, Herpa, the Roly Haffy Guard. Like, you have manners. Use them.
Everyone was super friendly. It was a great event. Let's start out with the 145-pound tournament.
First round,
we have Keith, but we have...
We had. RIP Keith Krikorian. Sorry about that. Big ups to you. Maine's wishing you the best in the afterlife, apparently.
We had.
We have Keith Krikorian versus Julio Richies. Is that how you say his name?
Oh, man, I didn't expect a follow-up question there.
Alrighty then. Anyway, Keith Krikorian wins via heel hook and regulation. Now you're giving me the...
Yeah,
no talking.
Giving you the bad.
Yeah. Valor Boyer versus Gabe Tejada. And Tejada wins due to injury to Boyer in regulation with a broken arm.
I was about 4.5 feet from this. And Gabe and Valor are like tied up and they're in like a leg entangled position. And Valor has his arm underneath of Gabe's knee. Mm-hmm. And they're like putting pressure on it. And you hear a pop, and then the match kind of like stops for a second, and then Gabe goes like tap, and I'm telling the story correct.
Okay.
and they go and like they lean over, and Gabe, it looks like Gabe thinks his knee's blown, and they get up and you look up, and then Valor's arm is like not looking correct. And it looked like he broke one of the long bones in his forearm, like the ulna or something.
Sick.
Because it you heard a pop, and then his arm was like not fully hangy, but slightly hangy. And
I love how we sort of talk like children, where we're saying, "Oh, it's all hangy or dangly."
But that's what I saw. Like, dude, I was 4 feet away, and everyone was like, "Oh shit!" And the crowd got quiet, and he was like, "Oh, that's bad." And then Gabe was like, "Oh shit, it broke." Because he was like, Gabe was in this. I talked to Gabe after this too, and Gabe was in this weird middle ground of like he thought it was his own knee, and then he was like happy it wasn't his own knee,
but then sad.
But
that
the other guy's arm
just
got broken, and it was very interesting,
right.
And that's how that match ended. So Gabe moves on to the next match.
Gabe moves on to the next round
of the 145-pound tournament.
Kevin Hughes versus Matt DeVroy. There we go. Hughes wins via heel hook in regulation. Next match, Frank Rosenthal versus George Strunk. Rosenthal wins via armbar in regulation.
Rosenthal had Tony in his corner. And a bunch of the Henzo guys.
Duh.
All right, fine. Moving on.
JM Holland versus Mateus Batista. Result, JM wins via rear naked choke in overtime. Javier Guzman versus Emilio Hernandez. Hernandez won via heel hook in regulation. Kyvan Gonzalez versus Jack Stapleton, with Jack winning via the fastest escape time in overtime. Sheridan Moran versus Judah Servo?
Servo, yep.
Okay, cool, thanks. Moran won via rear naked choke in regulation.
On to the 145-pound tournament quarterfinals.
You don't want to do the...
No, we're going to read the tournament first, then we're going to read the super fights, then we're going to read... So we're reading off...
Sorry, Dad.
Big props to Laura Kent. She has an article up... on MMA News. That's the article that we're taking all this off of, because I take terrible notes at live events. So I talked to Laura when I got there. I was like, hey, can we use your article that you're going to write on the results here for this, because you take better notes and write better articles than we do. So big shouts to her. If you want to go look at it, find it on MMA News for the finishers 8 sub only results. Great article. It's what we're using, and it's listed out how the bouts actually occurred.
Thanks.
And we're going to jump around.
Quarterfinals, Keith Krikorian versus Tejada. Krikorian wins via D'Arce in regulation.
This was a really, a scrambling match. It was a lot of fun. Krikorian really, she switched to, Japanese necktie and Peruvian, and, really had to adjust. Almost looked like the finish that Hinger got, where Hinger, holds the hands together and then rotates the hands through the choke to finish it. Really impressive. Really back and forth match. Definitely a match to watch in the quarterfinals.
Would you say it's a rewind recommends?
I got to watch it again. I'm going to be super biased because I was live. And okay. So it's like, I like to watch all this stuff again before I put it on the list. And that's kind of like, Emil is the general curator of that list. So I run that by him before I add to that list.
Thanks, Emil.
Jeez. Yeah, thanks, Emil, for giving us additional stuff and content that's awesome for our show and network.
Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Hughes versus Rosenthal. Rosenthal wins via heel hook in regulation. Holland versus Hernandez. Hernandez wins by heel hook in regulation. There's a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Stapleton versus Moran.
I said it was a heel hooky kind of weekend. There was an abundance of them in this event.
Moran wins via armbar in regulation.
Dude, it's that old school EBI format where there's you pass the dude's guard. It's like, cool, bro. You pass my guard. Unless you can control the guy, as soon as he inverts and goes under, he's on your legs again. And so that you saw a lot of finishes by leg lock. So onto the 45-pound tournament semifinals, Keith Krikorian versus Frank Rosenthal.
How hard were you during this match?
Super hard. So this is the match Emil and I called. I was like, I feel like these two guys are going to meet each other because they were on the same side of the bracket.
We've been talking about it all week.
Yeah, internally we've been talking about it.
Yes.
This match was super tentative from both guys because both guys had just been crushing through people. And you went, okay, so both guys, Rosenthal wants to sit and wants to get your legs and go under. Rosenthal does something cool here. He does something cool for the entire tournament. He sits on his butt and he does foot sweeps, like hooking foot sweeps from the bottom, from like his
inside
base.
Or outside?
Both. Repeatedly. Ugh. And he keeps doing it. It's something I don't
see.
Does
he use the other foot to push over?
He does a bunch of different combinations. Huh. And the entire match, for all his run through this tournament here, he uses this over and over and over and over. He's also got really long feet, I noticed. Not to make it weird. Like, he was...
Like, flipper-type feet? Like, long-ass
not
merman
like
feet?
That, but, like, he has very long feet for how short... Like, he's, like, my size, and his feet are very, like, long.
What size shoe do you think he wears?
Like, 11.
So you're saying he and I have, like, the same size foot?
Yeah.
Because I wear like 11, 11 and a half.
Yeah. But,
my feet are very wide too, so they don't look super long.
Right. It was interesting because it's a technique I don't see a whole lot of guys use, and he uses it repeatedly because he's trying to hook the feet towards guys. Kind of like that, but also he kind of like swipes through as well. Almost like a judo foot sweep, but from sitting. Kind of like that. Almost.
We're trying to do the motion.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain to Josh exactly
what's
happening.
We're trying to do the motion to each other, and I'm like this, and he's looking and just like shaking his head, so he's not talking about it as much.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, it was on my phone. I wasn't fully paying attention to it because I was at work today because I was covering for one of my guys.
We both work full-time jobs.
I'm calling that guy a piece of shit, though, on this podcast because he had to take his girlfriend to the airport. Her flight is at 10 a.m. to go to Korea, which means she had to be there at 8, which means he probably had to leave at 6 to get to Dulles, which means he could have worked, but he's a piece of shit and took the entire day off.
That's reasonable. So, really impressive. It was, again, I don't see it. It's a technique I don't see a whole lot from a lot of guys, but Rosenthal was using it repeatedly in this match.
I used it a lot in my younger days, and people got mad because I would kick the shit out of their legs.
That's kind of what he was doing sometimes. Like, he was doing that.
Maybe I'll go back to it then.
It was a super tentative match back and forth between Krikorian and Rosenthal, and then, like, you just saw both guys were looking for the entry that they wanted. You're in the quarterfinals. Both guys are super dangerous. Both guys can finish at any time. And you saw that. And so they go to overtime, and at one point, Krikorian is on Rosenthal's back, and they're escaping, and Rosenthal's doing the roll, and they start to go off the mat. And Zach Mezzalini, who's running the tournament and running it, goes, move, and he's scooting people out, and they're gonna, because mats are longer, everyone's sitting on the mats, because it's like a kumite style event, and the crowd parts.
Like the Red Sea, Moses.
And they roll and they roll and they roll.
Let
and the crowd
my
continues
people
to part.
Go.
The crowd continues to part as they continue to roll through the rest of the gym, and then escape happens. And which is cool. I liked it. Like, they didn't stop it and reset it. Like, oh, cool. They had mat space, though. They moved the crowd while the match was happening. I liked that. It was cool. It added to that level of drama in the semifinals because both these guys are really good. At the end, Krikorian in the second overtime is able to get a choke. Moves on to the finals.
Hernandez versus Moran. Hernandez wins via heel hook and regulation.
So now we have Keith Krikorian versus Hernandez.
And Krikorian takes it by heel hook in regulation, which means he is the featherweight tournament winner and wins $2,500 in cash.
Dude, super impressive victory for Krikorian. I mean,
which I believe Rosenthal was the previous 145 champion.
I think it was Krikorian is now a champ.
45. Don't say fucking champ.
I didn't say champ. Champ. I was going to, but I didn't.
He is a 2-weight category champion.
45 and 55 for finishers.
So good for them.
Yeah, dude, great. Like, dude,
I love the events. I think it's great. I love that they sometimes just have people that you've never heard of in there, and they can make it far. Yeah. And they bring different people in. Like, Krikorian is on the East Coast right now. Dude's fucking from California.
Yeah. Dude, he's hard to beat, too. Like, man, he is tough to beat. And you saw at the end. Like, Rosenthal's no joke, and Moran's no joke, and all these guys are good. And Keith is just, I'm interested to see what he does in 2019. Like,
Do you think he has a similar record to
last year? Seeing him live and seeing what he does live and the speed in which he moves and how he transitions and how he finishes stuff, like, I think he has a very similar record. Because, what, they've been putting him against black belts for a while now in all these tournament formats.
Is he still not a black belt?
He's a brown belt.
Still?
I think he had a brown belt last year. I think we saw him on Fight to Win this last year. Like, I would see him going for a title and Fight to Win. Wouldn't surprise me. Like,
I'm not, I don't want to see it. I'm just like, the dude competes at like a super high level. Again, belts are just like a thing. They sort of don't matter nowadays if you're not competing in the gi.
Right.
You know?
So anyway, I think he has a similar record in 2019 they had in 2018. Like,
he's got the one loss so far to Nicky Ryan.
In the trust, that's it so far this year. Like,
it's February. We'll see what he does.
Yeah. So, Other brackets.
Let's talk about some super fights and then get into the undercard, if you will. Chris Shagoli versus Brian Antoine, and Antoine wins via fast escape in overtime. Jess Feliciano versus Sarah Manzagelio, and Manzagelio won by armbar in regulation. Pierre Oliver Leclerc.
He's the guy we saw from Kasai.
Right,
won this 170-pound Kasai qualifier.
Right. Versus Andrew Alexander, and Leclerc won via armbar in regulation.
This was a fun match. This is a real back-and-forth match. Lots of transitions, lots of attacks on either side. Big pullouts from leg locks a couple times, and really impressive performance from both guys. Highly recommend go back and watch this one, because it was a fun-ass match.
The main event super fight. John Battle versus Ray De Leon. This dude went out to California, competed at EBI, and then came back and is back on the East Coast competing 2 days later.
Versus John Battle.
Yeah.
John Battle. Like, okay, so I rode with Ray when I went up to 10th Planet Bethlehem back in November before we knew my back was broken and before my disc was herniated and I was all fucked up.
When you could actually train properly.
When I could train properly. Dude whooped my ass. Like, I am an okay competitive purple belt. He sunned me. Josh is shaking his head.
Don't listen to him. He's a terrible competitive purple belt.
He whooped my ass the nicest way possible, but, like, sunned me. And John Battle took him down.
Armbarred him in regulation.
Quickly. Impressively. Like, John Battle is now the 2-division champion for Fight to Win. He has this main event super fight versus a dope competitor in Ray De Leon and armbars. And I'm like, Ray's really fucking good. And I'm excited to see what John Battle continues to do. Like, that's, like, I'm excited to see if he defends his title in Philly in the gi or no gi for Fight to Win. It's super exciting.
So let's go to the undercard of this whole thing. There were quite a few matches. Super fight undercard. Kelsey Singh versus Christina Briggs. Briggs won by armbar in overtime.
This was the opening match, and these women went at it back and forth, and it kind of set the tone for the rest of the event.
Sweet. Jack Stapleton versus Alex Harrell.
So he was in the tournament, and he had super fights in this matchup. So he was pulling double. Stapleton was pulling double duty in this event.
Harrell won via rear naked choke in overtime. Eric Naples versus Chris Crawford, and Crawford won via heel hook in regulation.
So I was talking to Eric, and he just competed in the 125 tournament for finishers on finisher 7. And apparently Junior from GF Team says that Eric and I had a match at some point in blue belt, in like early blue belt. And like the Junior remembers this match, and Eric and I both go like, it's possible. And Eric was like, I would have been like 16 then. I was like, yeah, I've competed against 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds since I've been in Maryland every event.
Probably lost. Catherine Millaris versus Jacqueline Gola, and Millaris won via fastest escape in overtime. Stefan Gristina versus Vernon Jordan. And Jordan wins via heel hook and regulation. Chloe Tomlinson versus Katherine Egan, with Tomlinson winning via straight ankle lock in regulation. Mike Rekshan versus Danny Lopez. And Rekshan wins via heel hook and regulation. Jiminous Christmas.
It was a big event, Josh.
Savannah Devaku? Yeah, sure. Versus Alyssa Pellin? Man, some of these names, man. Pellin wins via fastest escape in overtime. Alex Namath versus Sergio Villas, and Namath wins via heel hook and regulation. Alec Hubin versus Steven Tonger, with Hubin winning via Kimura and regulation.
You see Hubin on a bunch of events, so it's cool to see him on this event live for once.
Chris Crawford versus Kevin Dantzler, with Dantzler winning via calf slicer and regulation. Zach Edwards versus Dante Muschamp, or Muschamp. Is this Muschamp? Edwards wins via heel hook in regulation.
Dude, Edwards is like 6'5". We cover Edwards all the time. I got to talk to him. And you'd cut to 170 for this. He was walking at like 195 before he cut, started the weight cut down to this. And I was like, Zach, dear God. He's like 6'5". I'm like, dear God, man, move up to 85. He's like, nah, man, my weight just out of control. I'm like, dude, you got to. You can't be doing this. So, dude, looked really good. Super long-legged, and that's how he's able to get to the heel hook, and it's impressive.
Tom Selemare versus Michael Kostroba, with Kostroba winning via guillotine and regulation. Here's a name you've heard before. Nick Rodriguez versus Eddie Spoony Barger. Rodriguez wins via rear naked choke and regulation. Maine.
Dude, he wins like the same way he won the West Coast Trials. He does a cartwheel pass, takes the back, finishes a really quick rear naked choke. Like two.
The guy just does shit and
he just does shit.
Wins. It's
like
great.
I talked to him before his match and after his match, and like he's just like, I'm just trying to learn more jiu-jitsu so that I know what's there. And he's like, he's just pressure wrestling and then just does stuff and wins.
He's a blue belt?
Quotes there. In big ass quotes there.
But I'm saying, like, he's a blue belt.
He's
right
a blue belt.
Now. Scary.
It's scary as shit. And it's just, I'm excited to see what he can do. It's a 230-pound match, and both dudes were every bit of that weight. Super impressive. Honestly, like, I don't have a ton of, like, technical analysis to give on the match. It was just...
Motherfucker like, did a thing and won.
Yeah, but, like, he's done it twice now. Where it's like, is this a thing he does now? Like,
stud.
I don't even know if he does it.
This is the term, like, you guys used outliers for, like, all these wild guys. This is, like, a legit... This is the definition of the word outlier in the sense of, like, he's just this off over in this corner, don't know anything about him, and then...
Dude, we wrote an article on him for,
yes,
like...
Yes, but we don't... The dude's been training, quote-unquote, jiu-jitsu for 9 months.
9 months.
9 months. Nine. 10 months now, maybe?
Maybe.
Close to a year. Were you doing this shit a year in? I certainly fucking
wasn't.
Dude, I was
barely winning a Naga a year in. I was barely winning local tournaments a year in at white belt. Barely.
It took me 12 months to win a match from white belt to blue belt.
He's submitting black belts.
Merkin folks.
He's cartwheel passing over adult ultra heavyweights and taking their back and choke. It's just
the,
like, what
the
do you
kid
say?
Seems
what
like
do?
A super nice dude as well. Yeah. Jay Regalbuto again gave us some insight to him.
Go read our article on our website about him. Dude, watch this dude. He's on some other events coming up. Like
he's
can't
on fucking
anymore.
Everything. He's going to be on everything leading up to ADCC. Look forward to what he does and who he runs into at ADCC and what other wild shit that he does.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
Look
to it.
Look out for wild shit. On to the next match.
CC Mena versus Chelsea Mappa. And Mena won via Dead Orchard Armbar in regulation. Corey Guitard versus Enrique Galarza. Guitard wins via rear naked choke in overtime. And the end of the undercard is Diego Ponce versus Daniel Hernandez, with Hernandez winning via Darce choke in regulation.
It was an awesome event.
It's on YouTube. Go watch it.
And the video's good. And I assume the commentary is good because I saw Regalbuto there.
Maybe you'll see ugly ass mane in the background somewhere.
You might.
He's got ball hair on his chin.
I do.
And he's wearing a Grappling Rewind t-shirt.
That's also correct. Great event.
Watch it.
Love to go see it. Watch it. Rewatch it. Highlight real shit.
All of
happen.
These things make me want to be on one of these cards.
Dude, I do too. My back's broken right now. And I
my
can't.
Back is not broken.
Be less fat and get on a card, Josh.
Fine.
Just get on a card, man.
Hey, guys. Dude, I want to be on a card.
I want to cover you on our show like we used to back in the day, Josh.
Hey, I applied to Fight to Win, too.
Good. I did, and then I might have to rescind that, actually, because I can't.
Hey.
I can't touch my feet right now.
My back's broken. Hey, guess what?
I can't
touch
my feet. Okay.
Didn't Seth Daniels go get surgery on his back before this tournament and still showed up to the tournament? By the way,
did.
10-foot fucking tall trophy. Looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, so Seth to win.
Seth to win pro.
Fight to Win, the Tournament of Champions, that's their amateur organization that they do in Denver. It's a local tournament they have. They have really cool medals every time, and they
this
have...
This time they had a 900-foot karate trophy.
They had a 10-foot tall, like legit 10-foot tall. Not like, oh, it's tall. Like it was measured at 10-foot tall team trophy for the winning team. That will not fit in all the gyms I've trained at.
Marcelo Mata won that, like his gym won it, and I trained with him when I was out in Colorado Springs. Super sweet dude, was super, super nice to me. Beat the shit out of me. It was great. I was like, I couldn't breathe the entire time. Like 2 minutes in, I was like, I'm dying.
The Colorado training is fun.
I was dying, but I started like sort of fighting back and beating the positions, and then he just smiled and turned it up and just fucked me, and it was great.
So yeah,
that was finishers. Looking forward to the next finishers. Super
Dude,
stoked.
Always an awesome event, and it's close enough where it's just close enough. 3 hours is like I'm willing to drive to go to a cool-ass event like this. I hate driving more than almost anything else on this earth. If I am willing to drive 3 hours for an event and then drive back the same day, you know it's a good event.
I love driving.
Then drive me, man. Take off work and come to the event.
I'm normally off Sundays, but that's also like family time.
I got family
and stuff.
Time, and I got children and a wife.
I literally worked every day this week. And my kids were like,
and
we're mad at
now
you.
Now you're working on the podcast, too.
We're mad at you. Yeah, my wife's like, do you want to watch this movie? I was like, I got to go podcast. Because with everything that was going on, completely forgot to be like, hey, I'm going to go podcast this Sunday. And she just looked at me and was like, you asshole. It's like, sorry. So, yeah, I could be watching Bohemian Rhapsody with my wife.
Shout
right
out
now.
To your wife that you love.
Shout
Josh.
Out, Claire.
She's
I
great.
Do love her. She loves listening and then being like, at least you were nice. I was like, yeah. Well, not to Maine, because... Maine is a piece of shit.
That's reasonable.
I'm like, that is true.
All right. So, on to our preview section. So, on to our preview of Fight to Win 103 in Houston, Texas. This event takes place on March 1st, 2019, and is headlined by a black belt heavyweight gi title, Alexander Sassoni versus number 9 black belt gi title holder in the world, Gutenberg Pereira. We saw Gutenberg
number 9 ranked in the IBJJF more than likely, and that's Alexandro Sassoni.
What'd I say?
Sassoni.
Oh, shit. My bad. So we saw Gutenberg Pereira take the title from Tim Spriggs at Fight to Win Maryland 90 something.
90?
70?
Where is it up here? Was it 80s?
Might
Maybe it was 91 after the Philadelphia
I think
one.
It was 91.
I can't fucking remember.
I don't know. We saw him take the title. Gutenberg Pereira is an amazing competitor. This should be an amazing matchup. The next match on the card, the co-main event, is a female gi featherweight title versus Tubby Aliquin versus Henrietta Stack.
Annette Stack.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my
terrible.
God. She's from Chicago. We should talk to, she's in Chicago. We should talk to Alex Viana.
I cannot believe I butchered that name that bad. I'm looking at the
so
name.
Bad,
I'm
so bad.
What'd I say? What'd I say?
Henrietta. There's no R.
I was thinking Henrietta Lack. I don't know why.
Stop talking. Anyway, Josh taking over. Male bantamweight, black belt, gi, bantamweight, title match. That's right. Twice bantamweight. That's how... I just noticed this. Fuck. Now I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Jose Carlos Lima from GF Team versus Tomoyuki Hashimoto. Yeah. I'm stoked.
That's awesome. They're usually rooster weights, so they're going up to bantamweight. They're not cutting weight at all. This is...
Oh, I'm so excited.
This is
a match
to watch.
Tomoyuki Hashimoto
is an amazing black belt at a Carpe Diem.
Hashimoto-san.
Do not miss this match.
If George is listening, he'll know exactly what I referenced, and he'll laugh and text me Tuesday.
235-pound black belt gi match.
Stephen Hall Pesadillo versus Dean Zino.
205-pound black belt judo match.
Judo! Jamie Lascano versus Seth Daniels.
And this is Seth Daniels, CEO of Fight to Win's first black belt judo match in 12 years. First judo match in 12
years. Did Seth actually get surgery on his back? Because I know he posted about it. Or did he just get like a procedure? Because this just happened, and now he's going to do a judo match?
Yeah, and he's been scheduled, and he knew, and it's listed.
So maybe it was just like a small thing that...
But he's listed on there, so it's like, that is... Anyway, that is exciting to see Seth doing judo.
I'm gonna look. That's exciting. I'm looking for the sweep.
Yeah, 205-pound black belt gi match.
Angelus McCarlane versus Robert Yamashita.
205-pound black belt no gi bout.
Joe Dirksing versus C.J. Hancock.
200-pound black belt gi match.
Ignacio Neto versus Roger Narvaez. Narvaez.
195-pound black belt gi match.
Brian Marvin versus Marcus Bello.
185-pound black belt gi match.
Thomas Mancha versus Jeff Messina.
180-pound black belt gi match.
Marcelo Azevedo versus Alex Henley.
170-pound black belt gi match.
Danny Duckworth versus Joshua Sharpless.
165-pound black belt gi match.
Drew Lockwood versus Ed Ramos.
160-pound black belt gi match.
Isai Cabrera versus Rolly Delgado.
Ooh, GF team. 140-pound black belt gi match.
Davin Ordinario versus Washington Luis.
And then we have a brown belt super heavyweight gi masters title.
Chris Robertson versus Carlos Silva.
And a brown belt heavyweight gi title bout.
Dinko Bektik versus Ryan Walsh.
We have a host of other brown belt matches on the
card. Is Troy on this one?
I do not believe. Dude, he was.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Troy. What's up? I don't think he's on this one. He's on other one at this point recently.
Is Brittany on this one?
I bet her arm's broken.
Oh, it's
still
broken.
I think her arm's broken still. Yeah, she's healing it up. So hopefully she'll be back on soon.
Bummer.
So looks like a great event.
Kids and teens matches. Definitely all sorts of fun stuff. Texas. What's that, 2 hours behind? You were just there. You should know.
I think it's three. Two?
No, fucking California is 3 hours behind.
I think it's two.
Okay.
So on to our preview of the Midwest Finishers, number one, the lightweights. This event takes place on March 2nd, 2019, and is being hosted at 10th Planet Lombard in...
Lombard, Illinois.
Lombard, Illinois. I couldn't do that. It's being streamed on Facebook, and the live brackets are on...
It looks like it's being streamed via YouTube.
What'd I say?
Facebook.
Jeez, I'm an idiot. I read YouTube and then said Facebook like an idiot. So, being streamed on YouTube on the Midwest Finishers YouTube page, go recommend it. Go watch it. They have a 16-pound, 155-pound lightweight championship bracket for $1,600 and a championship belt.
Belts.
And in that bracket, we have
Kyle Perkins from Team Coran, Michael John from 10th Planet Orange County, California, Alex Seaver from Carlson Gracie Team in Illinois, Nick Ronan from Sarah BJJ and Henzo's from New York, Matt Ferran from Technica Jiu-Jitsu in Florida. Hashir Azam from 10th Planet Lombard. Jordan Holy from The Dark Side in Texas. Kyle Oliveira from Tech Team BJJ in Illinois. Daniel Rodriguez from Damian Maya Jiu-Jitsu in Illinois. Andrew Bernhock from Foundation BJJ from, is that Wisconsin or Washington?
Mm-hmm. One of those.
Wisconsin, I think it is. Chris Orozco, there we go, from Travis Moore BJJ in Texas, Kurt Chase Patrick, 10th Planet Fairfield in Connecticut, and Alex Hody from Roots Jiu-Jitsu in Michigan. Oh, there's still more people. I'm not done yet.
16-man bracket, Josh.
I can't count. Jimmy Morgan from 10th Planet Burbank, Kyle Thomason from Team James Klingerman, Emilio Hernandez. Emilio! I saw him, the Mighty Ducks man himself, and I was all like, Emilio. He's from Tennessee BJJ in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then we have some, hold on, you're skipping. Super fights. John Potterelli versus Isaac Cordova. Nick Maciello versus Tom Higgins. Elena Kai versus Nabila Martinez. Nate Pena versus Andrew Alexander. I almost called him Alexander. Justin Reinick versus Michael Carpenter. Blake Klassman versus Mike DeWitt.
Yeah. There's a host of other matches and people on this card.
There's a lot. It's cool that it's on YouTube, not Facebook. I almost said Facebook. Just look up Midwest Finishers.
Yeah, looks to be like a great event. Again, they've laid it out well. All the production looks good so far. Again, it looks like a great inaugural event using that finishers going from the East Coast. Like I just covered it you know, East Coast, New Jersey, to the West, into like the Midwest. So it gives us a chance to cover more people in the Midwest, and super exciting. A lot of names we've seen before, should be a lot of fun. So on to our preview of Subspectrum on Saturday, March 2nd.
Super excited. The main event, Matt Leighton versus Tex Johnson.
Dude, this is such a good main event. And the Geek.
It will be streamed on YouTube, the Subspectrum YouTube channel. They go live at 6 p.m. Central. They'll embed the YouTube link on the Subspectrum Facebook page, as well as Jordan Peitzman's page, to make sure it's easy to find. So, again, main event, Matt Leighton versus Tex Johnson. Super stoker on this one. Oh, here's somebody that we've heard before. Keith Krikorian versus, another person, John Battle.
Yeah.
That's going to be a rematch.
These guys fought before at Finishers, and I think Battle won it by a knee. Right? That was, I want to say, one of the early Finishers, like Finishers 3 or something, early in the Finishers. So this is an exciting rematch. I am amped. It's funny. We saw both these guys today at Finishers, and now we're seeing them next week on the Subspectrum.
You got to stay going.
Great matchup.
So there is a champion, a 135-pound championship going on. How the fuck is Junior Ocasio making 135?
He made 135 a little bit ago.
Did he?
Yeah, I always want to
say, I thought it was 45 that he made.
He did make 45, but he makes 35. Again, I always want to put him.
That's wild.
I always want to put him at like 155, but he just moves through those weight classes. I think like he is actually one on the smaller end of that spectrum.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Junior Ocasio, Austin Dafferin, Sean Richmond, Chris Crawford, Justice Bibbs, Alex Weaver, Nate Williams, and Timmy Carpenter. So that's an 8-man, 135-pound championship bracket.
And that's a hell of a bracket. Those would be some good matchups.
We also have a women's 135-pound championship bracket with Hannah Sharp, Taylor Biagi, Jessica Bushman, or Buckman, one of those two, Jessica Vaughn, Miranda Maverick, Christine Campbell, Mackenzie Manteris, I got that one, and Sandy Salazar. We also have a couple of no-gi feature matches. Man, I can't talk. Hunter Colvin. Oh, heard of that guy too.
Yeah.
Versus Adam Bradley.
Again, these guys stay super active. We just saw Hunter on this weekend on competition to beat Kyle Bame. So, again, he's from that area. Super excited to see
this
matchup.
We have a brown belt feature gi match. Nick Fenton versus Ramsey's Bugarin. Ooh, I nailed that one. Another brown belt featured match. Jace Vivera versus Anthony Bell. A purple belt feature no-gi match. Steven Gladhill versus Jose Urbina. Another no-gi featured match by another person that we've talked about several times. Derek Flagg.
Yep.
I said that right?
Yeah, he's the guy that had the fastest submission on it a little bit ago. And we've seen him on it once or twice, and we've covered him since then on a number of other things. So super exciting.
Right. He's versus Jake Bauer. And we have a teen feature gi match, Claire McDougal versus Brooke Crowley. Super excited for that.
Definitely tune in for that. Subspectrum
It's going to be a banger.
Subspectrum always has some really great matchups. And again, that title bout and those matchups at the top of the card are just like, those are super fight matchups in a big way. Johnson and Leighton together on a mat, that's going to be fireworks.
Exactly. Do you want to move right into the preview for Spider Invitational in Korea?
Let's do it. So Spider Korea Invitational in Korea, the Spider Qualifier, takes place on March 2nd, 2019, and is what Spider Korea does is two brackets. They do an under 76 kilogram bracket, and they do an over 100 kilogram bracket for this one. And they feature purple belts, brown belts, and black belts. And it is outstanding. It's great.
All sorts of crazy shit happens. Sometimes there's mismatches. Sometimes there's not. It doesn't really matter.
Sometimes a brown belt passes a black belt.
Sometimes a purple belt beats people, too. If Maine's computer wasn't in night mode, we could see the colors. I'm pretty sure I can figure that out, that those are brown and purple, and I was right. Anyway, in the under 76 kilo 8-man division, we have Mateus Lutz versus Daniel Sather. Brown belt versus purple belt. On the same side of that bracket, the next match, we have Augusto Mendez versus Lucas Hosha.
That's going to be a great matchup.
Or on the other side of the bracket, we have Mateus Luna versus Levi Jones, who's coming off a huge victory.
Over Lapri at Europeans. Yeah. Really tight match, but still, that's probably the biggest victory of his career by far.
At the moment.
Yeah.
And now we also have on that side, Osvaldo Moisinho versus Sanghyun Lee. My Koreans.
Another
good
black belt versus a brown belt match. So in the 100 kilo, in the under 100 kilogram match, we have...
I always want to not pronounce the R, but
he's American.
He's American. Roberto Jimenez versus Anderson Muniz.
We just saw Jimenez on trials look really, really good.
We have Claudio Calazans versus Marcos Tinoco. That'll be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tim Spriggs, who we just saw this past weekend.
On DJ Stars.
Versus Hudson Mateus. That's a very intriguing matchup that I would love to see. And we're going to see it.
You're going to see it.
And we also have Mateus Deniz versus Young Chul Kim.
That was good.
Thank you. I'm really good at those. I'm gonna make some predictions. Ready?
All right,
ready
let's for do
this?
It.
This is what we're gonna do. Mateus Lutz is gonna take his match. Augusto Mendez is gonna bore his way through a match.
I agree with both those. I think Mateus
Levi Jones wins, and
yep,
Moisinho goes on.
I agree.
Levi beats Moisinho. Mateus Lutz outpaces Mendez, and then Levi defeats Mateus Lutz in the finals.
I want to have some controversial, different opinion, but this is when I initially wrote up my preview for the event. That's what I had going on. I usually don't do predictions on the show, but that's what I had going on.
Normally, when we predict things, it's totally wrong. So
you have a great track record on the show.
I know,
except for that one time I picked Shane to win the world, and then he did.
Yeah, Roberto wins his match. Claudio Calazan squeaks one out.
Over Marcos Tinoco.
Yep. Tim Spriggs, I think, outpaces Hudson. He stays away from that 50-50 and outpaces him. And then Tim Spriggs versus Mateus Deniz with...
That's a tough one to call.
Deniz taking it in a close match. And
he gets some points? Or an ad or something?
Something like that. And then...
Really, really close.
Roberto outpoints Claudio.
Ooh.
And then
come for the brown belt upset.
Yeah. And then Deniz defeats Jimenez. You heard it here first.
So that'll do it for our preview of the Spider quarterfinal. I can never figure out what this event is called.
It's Spider Invitational BJJ Championship. This is a qualifier for one of those things. They normally run them every couple of months, and then it finalizes either at the end of the year or the very beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And then they do it all over again.
And it's great, and it's awesome, and it showcases some really, really high-level top talent for jiu-jitsu. So, again, it's kind of like the Joel Tudor thing, where it showcases really, really high-level IBJJF and, super fight good guys.
Stoked to watch. It's probably on their Facebook page. It's in Korea, so it's, 13 hours ahead.
Watch it. It'll roughly. Be great. So that's all we got to preview. There's some other stuff happening this week that we can't find information for. I can't find the information on the Gamblers Invitational 2. Atos versus GF team, which we were going to talk about last week, got rescheduled. There was apparently a post somewhere that Flow Grappling made that I wasn't able to find, but someone in our comments actually told me that it was rescheduled after I'd already posted some of the preview stuff we do for it. So hopefully that gets rescheduled soon. That looks like a fun event. We have a number of other stuff coming up in the end of March. It is another crazy.
Busy,
we're going to
busy. Plugging through.
Going. Yep. So I've got nothing else, Josh. You got anything else?
No. It was fun being back. This is a long one.
Yeah, this is a long. This is a.
We've been talking shit for a while. Hour 52
episode.
Minutes?
Yep, hour 52 minutes. If you get cut down, maybe I'll have to cut off a couple things, but probably not, honestly.
Mostly me talking about penises or butts.
Pretty much. Yep. So, as always, I'm Maine with the Grappling Rewind.
And occasionally, I'm here, and that's Josh with the Grappling Rewind. And we will see you on the mats right after you rate, review, and subscribe on Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Honestly, if you just tell your friends about it, that'd be the best thing. We appreciate that.
We'd be excited about that.
See you on the mats. If you like the show, please consider sharing it on Facebook with the folks at your gym. It's the best way that we grow the show, and we really appreciate it. You can reach out to us on email.
We also have Instagram. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have Google+.
Until that shuts down.
We have a website.
If you have an event you would like to have us cover, please let us know. If you have a name, like most people do, and you'd like to have us stop butchering it,
let us know.
Reach out to us. The show is also available on YouTube, Spotify, in addition to iTunes and every other podcast service. We very much appreciate your time, and thank you.